couple of things when you walked in. One was the Revolution Guide, and we're going to talk more about that, so you can have that ready. And if you happen to get a program as well, inside there is a yellow sheet that says sermon notes and response card, and this is just a way that I use to interact. It's a spot where you can jot some stuff down, but also it's a chance where you can let me know what God is saying to you and how I can be praying for you and supporting you on the journey. So hopefully you're able to get those. But we're getting ready to launch into a pretty exciting journey as we begin this new year, and I wanted to start it off by sharing a story with you. So my son Aiden has been learning how to play cello. And as he gets better, the song assignments get more and more challenging, right? And every so often, he'll get a new assignment from the teacher, and it seems too overwhelming, too hard. He feels like there is no way he'll ever be able to do that. Anybody relate to that feeling? Yeah, me too. I felt that way many times, especially when I was learning to play guitar. And a natural response when faced with such a huge assignment is to shrink back and to give up. Thankfully, Aiden has a great cello teacher. And rather than making him tackle the whole assignment all at once, he breaks it up into smaller steps and encourages him just to take one step at a time. More than that, he tracks with my son and helps him every step of the way. And the strategy's been effective because he continues to press on and reap the rewards. And it's really fun to see him grow and do things that he never imagined would be possible for him to do. And that analogy, it relates to so many aspects of life, but I find it especially helpful as we're preparing to launch into a new series about discipleship. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at what Jesus did to reach and transform the lives of his disciples, his students. And we're gonna watch at what he does so that we can learn how a relationship with Jesus will transform our lives and our world. As we go, we're going to see that Jesus uses a similar strategy as my son's cello teacher. I mean, we can't sugarcoat it. He gives us a huge assignment, does he not? Last week, we briefly touched on the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. You'll remember, the Great Commandment is to love God with all. Not part, not some, not even most. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he's not done yet. And love your neighbor, not just the nice ones or the ones you get along with, but also the mean ones and the difficult ones and the needy ones. Really, anyone that we cross paths with in our home, school, workplace, neighborhood, community. That's huge. In the Great Commission, it just gets bigger. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. Not just all of our nation, which would be huge in itself. Make disciples of all nations, all countries, all people, all languages. Teaching them everything Jesus commanded and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is huge. These two greats, they're not options. They're a command and a commission for all who consider themselves part of the Jesus community. Wow. A natural response when faced with such a huge assignment could be to shrink back and give up. It might seem too overwhelming, too hard. You might feel like there is no way that I could ever do that. Yet Jesus is a master teacher. Rather than making us tackle the whole assignment all at once, he breaks it up into smaller steps. And he encourages us to take one step at a time. More than that, he tracks with us and he helps us every step of the way so that we can press on and reap the rewards of a relationship with him. Using the Gospel of Matthew as an inspiration, we tried to capture the steps of discipleship in something that we're calling the Revolution Pathway. See the steps on the screen. Follow Jesus. Serve with Jesus. Learn from Jesus. Become like Jesus. Empowered by Jesus. And sent for Jesus. This is also in your handout. It's going to be our roadmap. These aren't necessarily in chronological order, but they represent a holistic picture of discipleship. And it's also important to know that these aren't steps we have to take in order to earn a relationship with Jesus. These are steps we get to take because he offers a relationship to us. And we chose the word revolution because it has a double meaning. On the one hand, it means a radical change. And I promise you, if you take these steps with Jesus, it will radically change your life and our world. On the other hand, it also means to revolve or turn around like a wheel. And the process of discipleship is ongoing, something that we continue to do all the days of our lives. We keep taking steps with Jesus over and over, each time at a deeper level, hopefully each time bringing new people with us who may not have a relationship with Jesus yet. And it's fortuitous that today is Epiphany in the traditional church calendar. Today when we remember how the wise men followed the star to Jesus. Well, today we're going to take a look at the first step in the revolution pathway and consider what it looks like to follow Jesus. As we go through the Gospels, we see Jesus invites people just to simply follow him. We heard kind of a wild example in the gospel reading that I shared from Matthew 4. Let's just quickly recap. So Jesus, he's standing on the shore. He sees some fishermen. He says, follow me. And they do. Peter and Andrew leave their net and they follow Jesus. James and John leave their dad, their boat, their family business, and they follow Jesus. Does that sound crazy to anybody else? I mean, what? I mean, just imagine. Imagine Jesus walks right into your workplace with your boss sitting right there, and he says, follow me. And you just get up, leave your office, leave your job, and follow. Or imagine Jesus walks into your family room with your parents or your kids right there, and he says, follow me. And you just get up and leave your house and your family and your livelihood and you follow. I would understand if you hear that and you say, that seems too overwhelming and too hard. I would understand if you feel like, I could never do that. I'm with you. So how about we look at this story from a slightly different perspective? Matthew is one of four gospel accounts that we have of Jesus. Each of the Gospels was written by a different person from a slightly different perspective. So you have Matthew. It was written by Matthew, who is one of the original 12 disciples of Jesus. John was written by John, an original of the 12 disciples of Jesus. Mark is thought to be written by a close friend of Peter, another original disciple. One exception, Luke. Luke wasn't written by one of the original disciples. Luke had never met Jesus. He only heard about Jesus through the early church. Intrigued, he set out to research and record the facts about Jesus. So bring that back to our passage for today. Matthew, John, to some degree Mark, they all knew Jesus. They all knew the close disciples. They knew the backstory of why each of them followed. They knew how amazing Jesus is and how incredible it is to follow. So they didn't feel compelled to share all the details of the story, just that it happened. Well, that wasn't going to cut it for Luke. I just picture Luke reading Matthew's story and going, really? Come on, I'm going to need more than that if you want me to follow Jesus. And so he digs into it, and he does find there's more to the story, which he shares with us in his gospel. And again, we see Jesus is a master teacher. He breaks this step of follow-up into smaller steps and encourages us to take one step at a time. More than that, he tracks with us and he helps us each step of the way so that we can press on and reap the rewards of following Jesus. And the rest of the message we're going to briefly touch on each of these steps from A to F. First, A positive experience. Luke uncovered a prequel to the story. He shares that in Luke 4, 38 to 39. Luke writes, Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon Peter. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Jesus got up at once, or she got up at once, and began to wait on them. That adds something to the story, doesn't it? Before Jesus left everything to follow Jesus, he had a positive experience of Jesus. Jesus found a special way into Peter's life. Peter had an experience of Jesus' presence, an experience of Jesus' love and compassion, an experience of Jesus' help, an experience of Jesus' power. And this gave him a sense that Jesus may want to have a relationship with him. And maybe Jesus was somebody he might want to have a relationship with too. Unfortunately, I know that many have had negative experiences with the church and with Christianity. I was talking with a guy this past week whose mom got disillusioned with the church because her pastor stole money from the congregation. So sad. I've heard that others have had the negative experience of being judged or excluded or being treated in hurtful ways by people who call themselves Christians. If you've had a negative experience, I want to apologize on behalf of the church. This is not right, and this is not Jesus. Jesus is absolutely wonderful and amazing. And some of you know that. Some of you have had a positive experience of Jesus, even if you never thought about it like that before. One of my first positive experiences of Jesus came through a guy named Daniel. I was bullied a lot as a child because I didn't look like the other kids I grew up with in Hawaii. This happened, by the way, in a Christian school. Daniel, even though he was a different race than I was the first person that made me feel valued, welcomed, wanted as a person. And he just so happened to be the worship leader for our school chapels. Jesus will find a way into our life if we're paying attention. And I would bet if you took a long, hard look and thought honestly, you've probably had a positive experience of Jesus in your life. A moment where you experienced his presence, his love, his compassion, his help, his power. And it's experiences like this that give us a sense that maybe Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. And maybe Jesus is someone we might want to have a relationship with too. Maybe for some of you, Good Shepherd has been the positive experience. I hear a lot of people say that they feel God's presence in this church in a special way. I praise God for that, because that's the first step in the journey. And Luke records his version of Matthew's story in Luke chapter 5. Feel free to join with me in your Bible or your Bible app. We're in Luke 5, 1 through 11. And as the story unfolds, we run across the other steps. B, begin exploring. Luke 5, 1 through 2. One day as Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Okay, we get some new details about the story. Jesus wasn't just hanging out by the sea. He was teaching. The fishermen, they weren't just playing with their nets. They were listening while Jesus was sharing God's word. And so before they leave everything and follow Jesus, they had an opportunity to begin exploring. This wasn't like check your brain at the door, blind faith. They had an opportunity to listen, to ask questions, to engage in dialogue with the crowds that had gathered around Jesus. My friend Daniel, who I mentioned earlier, he helped me begin exploring Jesus. He read the Bible with me, gave me some good Christian books to read. He let me ask him tough questions and talked with me about Jesus. A good shepherd is a safe community if you're exploring. We welcome you. We welcome explorers. And we invite you, listen, ask questions, engage in dialogue. Both Pastor Glenn and I have done Q&A sessions with students and parents. Those are fun, aren't they? We don't claim to know all the answers, but we like pointing people to the one who does. That's one of the reasons why I use response cards and sermon notes. It's a chance to continue the conversation if that would be helpful for you. Our new member classes are another great way to explore Christian truths and traditions with pastors. If you've never been a part of that, we have a new session coming up. And we also created a reading plan, a Bible reading plan to go along with this sermon series. You'll find that on the insert of your booklet. And this is to help people explore who Jesus is. And we'd love to have you read that along with us. The next step is C, create space. Luke 5:3, Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Sounds simple, but it's a big step. Peter created space for Jesus. He let Jesus into his boat. My friend Daniel taught me the importance of creating space for Jesus in my life. He said, no matter how busy you get, make sure to spend time with God every week in worship. Make sure to spend time with God every day reading the Bible and praying. And that's something that stayed with me all of these years. Where might Jesus be inviting you to create space for him? Is it in your calendar? In your day? Is it in your problem? Or in your grief? Is it in your marriage? We have a new married people small group coming up. Great way to create space for God in your marriage. Is it in your family? Is it in your downtime? Where is he calling you to create space? Because it's when we create that space that we get to know Jesus better. And we find out what he can do in our lives. Peter was about to find out. D, do something Jesus says. Luke 5:4-7. When he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. Jesus' first ask was not follow me. His first ask was to do something Peter had done 1,000 times before, only in a different way, in Jesus' way. And I bet Jesus' way made no sense to Peter. Back in that time and period, they fished with nets. And they would fish at night because that was when the fish came up to the surface during the colder temperatures. During the day, however, in the heat, they would swim down to cooler depths. So you fish at night, not in the day. Plus, Peter had fished all night and caught nothing. Nothing. They had just finished cleaning their nets. And now is when Peter says, I want you to go fishing again during the day. Made no sense. And Peter risked looking like a fool in front of the crowds. But in that moment, he decided to trust Jesus and do what he says. And it was in that moment that his faith met Jesus' faithfulness. And he reaped the reward, the blessings of doing what Jesus says. My friend Daniel was one of the first people to challenge me to actually do what I read in the Bible. Novel thought. And he would hold me accountable. Looking back over my life, maybe you can see the same thing. I see forks in the road where Jesus said, trust me. And sometimes I did, and I'm so glad I did. And sometimes I didn't. And man, I wish I could do those over again. Jesus asks us to do things we've done 1,000 times before, only in a different way, maybe his way. Jesus might ask you to take a new approach, a different approach to your relationships, to your giving, to your work, to your time management, to your purity, to the things you choose to watch and read and wear. Jesus' way will not always make sense. We might try to fight him and push back, but guess what? He created us. He knows what's best for us. Trust him. Do what he says. As you read the Bible this week every day, which I know you're going to do, you're going to track along with that reading plan with us or your own reading plan. But here's just a simple challenge. Each day, each time you read the Bible, pick one thing from that reading that you can do and do it. Start small, whatever. Just pick one thing and do it. And watch how your faith meets Jesus' faithfulness. Watch how you begin to reap the blessings of doing what Jesus says. And we reap other rewards by taking steps with Jesus. E, encounter grace and calling. Luke 5:8-10. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John. There they are. The sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." All of a sudden, this wasn't about fishing anymore. Peter realized that Jesus was someone very special. And he became painfully aware of his own shortcomings. And Peter said to Jesus, "You don't want me. Go away. I'm a sinful man." But instead of receiving judgment or condemnation from Jesus, he encountered Jesus' grace and calling. Jesus said to Peter, "Don't be afraid. I have grace for your failures, and I have a calling for your future." You know how you reach out and draw fish in, or at least try to? I'm going to use you to reach out and draw people in to me. And if Peter could have peeked into the future, I think he would have a hard time believing what he saw. I think he'd have a hard time believing that this guy who constantly was sticking his foot in his mouth would one day lead thousands of people to Jesus with a single message. I think he'd have a hard time believing that this struggling fisherman who couldn't even catch fish was going to be the key leader of a new movement that would go global. I think he'd have a hard time believing that a sinful man like him would one day be remembered as a saint. I carried around a lot of shame for the wrongs in my life. And Daniel was one of the first friends to introduce me to the beauty of God's grace. He explained that Jesus came precisely to pay for the wrongs in my life and set me free from sin. And he affirmed that Jesus has a calling for my life. He helped me develop my gifts and use them for Jesus. And I want you to hear this. Sin does not disqualify you from following Jesus, no matter what it is. Every single one of Jesus' followers were sinners. So I guess that makes it kind of a prerequisite. Doubt does not disqualify you from following Jesus. None of his first disciples believed in Jesus 100% or even knew what that meant. Read through the Gospels and you find them struggling with sin and doubt all the way through. It doesn't disqualify us. Jesus knows our sin, he knows our doubt, and yet he still wants to have a relationship with us. Just like he did for Peter, he says, "Don't be afraid. I have grace for your failure, and I have a calling for your future." Jesus has a plan for each and every one of our lives. and how he can use us to reach out and draw other people closer to Jesus. And as I said that, you might have had somebody pop into your mind right now who maybe you could throw a lifeline or with whom you could be a safety net that draws them closer to Jesus. And we conclude with the part of the story we heard in Matthew's version. F, follow Jesus. Luke 5:11. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. That's still huge to me. But at least now we have a better understanding of why these fishermen would want to leave everything and follow Jesus with their whole lives. A positive experience. Begin exploring. Create space. Do something Jesus says. Encounter grace and calling. We can't miss that Jesus invited these fishermen to follow him with others. Following Jesus isn't a solo act. This is something we do in community. My friend Daniel and so many other people have been an integral part of my faith journey. Jesus knew that we would need other people for the journey. We can't do this on our own. We need other people who can encourage us, lift us up, stretch us, challenge us, hold us accountable, maybe most importantly, support us through the highs and lows of the journey. We need other people. That's why small groups are so important. That's why every week in this series, following service, we're going to have an interactive community faith experience. These are great ways for us to build a strong network of faithful friends and practice following Jesus together. Because Jesus invites every single one of us to follow him. And if it seems too overwhelming or too hard, if you're thinking, nah, there's no way that I could ever do that, please, just for the next 6 weeks, don't shrink back or give up. Jesus is a master teacher. He breaks it down into small steps and encourages us to just take one step at a time. And he tracks with us and helps us every step of the way. And so wherever you're at in your faith journey, welcome. And I would challenge you, take whatever is the next step for you. And if you already consider yourself a follower of Jesus, I want you to think about every area of your life, from the bedroom to the workroom, from eating to entertainment, from fitness to finances, from the Great Commandment to the Great Commission. Can you identify one area in your life where you are not fully following Jesus? I can. And I encourage myself and I encourage you to take a next step so that you can press on and reap the rewards of following Jesus. If you need prayer or help with this, please just let me know on your response cards. And so the response cards are at the bottom of the sermon notes, or you can just jot me a note on whatever you have. But I'm going to give you a moment to think and pray about how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you put your name and your email, I promise I'll pray for you and write to you. Check the boxes that apply, fill out your response, and then you can put it in the offering basket with your offering or hand it to me on your way out. We're going to give you a moment with God, and then I'll close us in prayer. Would you pray with me? God, it's incredible that you want to have a relationship with us. We confess the sin and the doubt and the discouragement that sometimes keeps us from following you. Yet you still pursue us. You came from heaven to earth to invite us to follow you. Thank you for breaking it up into smaller steps and tracking with us so that we can experience the rewards of following you. And God, I pray for this community here today. Pray that you'd give us the wisdom to see where we are at on the journey and a next step that will take us closer to you. God, give us the wisdom and the power and the courage to take that next step. So the Good Shepherd will always be a church that will reach and transform spiritually distracted people so we all love and serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.